Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon on this Monday, and it's not bad out there in New York, and we're live. This is May Pang talking to you, and where's my friend Cynthia? Come on, Cynthia, come and help me out here.
I'm here. I'm down here in Nashville. It's a beautiful morning here. It's not too hot. I just spent the whole morning chasing my horses around, trying to move them to another field, and for our regular listeners, I guess we now have 15 seconds at the top of the show called Cyber Interruptus. Oh. Once again, apoplexy because it didn't start right on time, but I can hear our friends and fans going, what happened? Something happened to May Pang.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I just sort of sit here going, it says we're on the air and nothing is going on.
I know.
And it's like,
we got a whistle. Yeah, we got a whistle or something. And then the theme came on so loud. I mean, physically I can control it on the board and I lowered it. I have to have a little chit-chat with our blog talkies about this.
I think so. Yes.
You're leaving for Liverpool tonight, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am. And I have, my friends are, I've already made a, they're all coming to, they're having a party here at my house without me. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
Elaine goes, I think I'm going to have an apartment. No, you're not.
Oh, it's Elaine. Now, May, you know Helene tends to attract oddities. Now, are you sure you want Helene having a party?
I told her she can't, but that doesn't mean, But that is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Well, you're going to the International Beetle Fest, correct?
Yeah.
As a guest.
The Beetles Week out. Right, with Cavern City taking care of everything, and I'm being interviewed. I think all the main big guests are going to be interviewed by Mark Lewison, who is considered the expert because he did all the research, and his books are in the Smithsonian. And he's going to interview Donovan, Peter Asher, myself, and Patty Boyd. There are a few, more people.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh my. Now, how long does the actual fest go for?
It's a whole week.
Win Powerball. Yeah.
If you do come, it starts Wednesday for a week.
All right.
It goes on a week.
You're going to be there the whole week? Or?
Yes, I will be there the whole week.
You're lucky, Doug.
Yes. Yeah, and I already have people, set up with our friend Gary Rachel, who's set up an interview with some people and other things. I'll be meeting and greeting. Yeah.
Well, speaking of our little bird, Gary Rachek, he set up, we call him our agent. Set up our interview today, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yes.
We got a lot of feedback about this gentleman. And,
absolutely.
Summer's winding down. We're not going to be on the air for the next 2 weeks because May will be traveling and Cynthia will be working to buy her own glass slippers. But we will have some rerun shows and we may rerun this one. But anybody who's in the world of photography, anybody, if you say his name, they're like, we are not worthy. We are not worthy. I like to say he was there when Rolling Stone magazine was but a pebble. His approach has been copied many, many times. It's just a candid way that he got shots of legends, including Bob Dylan, Pink Floyd, May's friend Phil Spector, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, The Who, Jimi Hendrix. The list goes on and on. He's written books. He ran a magazine, and a little bird told me he even flew planes for a while. He's here to talk up his newest book, his pictures, and I want to grill him about photoshopping. Baron Wallman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. I mean, you two are stars in your own right. You know that.
Oh.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
I mean, I'm already a big fan, really. Believe me.
So
well, we're glad
you know,
to have you, Baron.
Yeah.
Go ahead, May.
I was just going to say that would on the, off the air, we were just touching base about how you and I come from a time period that we won't ever see again. I mean, it was just a different. It's just different.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about that time period, at least from the photographic point of view, people say, they're always asking me, oh, did you know that you were recording history and that, you know, your pictures were going to be a big part of the history of the times? You know, I had no idea. I was, for me, photography was such a joy. It was a job, of course, but a wonderful job. And, you know, it was a hobby first. So insofar as your hobby becomes your job, it's even more delightful. But I had no historical perspective on what I was doing. Who knew, for example, that when we started Rolling Stone, well, who knew what Rolling Stone would become when we started Rolling Stone? And who knew, for example, what the Grateful Dead would become, how iconic these bands would become? They were just people in our neighborhood, you know, in our friends. We'd go hear them in the park, in Golden Gate Park. They'd play free concerts. So there was really no way to understand that we were really on kind of on the edge of a historical moment that is significant.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, people were saying when you were taking these photographs of John, did you know? How would I know? He just allowed me to, in the sense that he let me just take photos, and he happened to like how he looked, because he was very picky, John. You know, and he looked at it, and he goes, I like what you see. And I felt like saying it's because I have a great subject, and you know, and it he just let me do it, and it was so much fun. And
okay.
May,
something I've got to tell you, what is really very fortunate for you. Your friendship with John created a trust between the two of you, and what I discovered, and what my friend Jim Marshall, the other photographer that I always refer to, what he discovered is that the trust between the photographer and the subject is the key to getting intimate, significant, memorable photographs. You know, if there is trust, you get a piece of your subject's soul. There's no question about it, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And that's what I learned. I don't know if you have, I don't know if you saw my book, the last one, Instamatic Karma, all my photographs of John. If not, I'll get you a copy. And it's
I've just been reading about it, and I was trying to find which image. You know, on the internet, there's everything, and I didn't know which of those images were from the book.
Oh well, I'll send you a copy of the book. I'll send
Great.
That to you. And
but you got to autograph it. You got to autograph it and say you love me.
I will. I do, Baron. I love your work. I think it's fantastic. Are you kidding? I think it's great. I'm so glad we're finally meeting in this forum, because we're talking about, you know, things that we love. I love taking photographs. That's how I started. I just used to do it, and people would think, you know, what are you carrying that camera around? I said, I like it.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn. And, you know, that was the key. And I know I could see the photos. I saw the ones of Jimi Hendrix. I thought that was great, you know, when he's playing this guitar. And, you know, he has a special that's coming out. There's a documentary on the 4th of September being shown on Showtime. And, you know, and I just look at all these photos. You could see how they look. It was great. It, you know, it's just magic.
It really was great. I'll tell you something that I find very interesting right now is the popularity of Instagram, because Instagram is really about the whole notion of a photo is worth 1,000 words, right? Because people are posting photos about their lives, their experiences, and for the most part, they don't tell the story. Well, for me personally, I'm having so much fun with Instagram, but I'm adding a little story to each photo that I post, and it's all rock and roll stuff. It's all from my archives, you know what I mean? But I add a little story so people have the context. They understand why I took it, what was happening at the time, you know?
Right. And that's exactly, that's why when you get my book, that's what it is. The photographs, you get an idea, and, you know, I tell the story, where we were, what we were doing, so you can get... So you're in with us as we're going along.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's very interesting. As you've discovered, I'm sure, if you show somebody a photograph of, from back in the day, they'll say, well, how was he like, what kind of person was she, you know, tell me a little bit about it. And they
exactly.
all want to know the story behind the photo, you know.
Absolutely. That is
and
so
you know what, guys?
True.
Now, I'm not a photographer, so I'm listening to you guys talk photography, and it's like Chinese to me, no offense, May. But, you know, do you think, Baron and May, there's very few people that really like how they look in photographs. Now, have you come across someone who really liked how they looked, Baron, and said, oh, yeah, ooh. Ooh, you really got me. You captured me.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that usually only happens when, and go back to the idea of trust, when they trust me and they relax and they don't push against the experience, you know, because if they have a good time letting me photograph them, then the pictures will come out as a reflection of their best selves. And I'll tell you this, I never, ever published a photograph where somebody looked bad. Of course there's some pictures where people look lousy, and there's no way I'm going to disrespect them and publish those. I only try to publish and release pictures where it's kind of people's best selves, you know.
It's
well,
so
and
true.
That's how May, one thing about your pictures of John is that, and I agree with Baron when he said your relationship, the intimacy that the two of you shared translated into how he looked at you while you were taking his picture, you know, and I think that it reads that way with pictures of him and Julian. You captured those moments when John was not John the Beatle, John the musician, he was John the dad, John the boyfriend, you know, that... But now, leading into this, both of you now, I want your opinion on photoshopping.
Okay.
Okay. Baron, you go first.
Well, look, photoshopping is a tool. If used correctly, it's a very it's a helpful tool. For example, I definitely photoshop, or I use it to clean up pictures, old pictures that I've scanned that have dust on them and things like that.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't try to change. Well, I'll tell you this. You're gonna laugh about this. Okay, you get a little old, right? So I see pictures of myself, and there's certain aspects of my face or my neck or something like that. And you know, it may be a great picture, but you can see my turkey neck or something. I will definitely Photoshop out my turkey neck. But the irony is that, you know, before I put it on the internet or something, but then I go to the mirror, you know, and it's still the old me. You can't Photoshop reality away. That's the problem, you know.
That I agree, and that, you know what, photoshopping, if you know, the subject, it's clean up, it's a great tool, because a lot of it, it's like there's a picture of the contract where John is signing the contract. It was so dark. I didn't have a light. It was just something I took on the spur of the moment. I couldn't have been able to pull that out without Photoshop today, because the negs were so light that you really, it just enhanced, and you could see the exact, you know, his handwriting, the whole thing, it really honed in on it. So the tool is there. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody to Photoshop themselves in the unless, you know, you're doing it for fun, but for a real photograph, you know, it's a helpful tool.
Yeah, I know the source of your question. And you know, people will use Photoshop beyond what I think is reasonable or ethical. You cannot create a new person. You could, but when you Photoshop, you create a new person who doesn't exist, and you say this person exists. You take someone who's heavy, and you take off their weight. That's not right. They don't. I mean, maybe that's how they'd like to see themselves, and maybe in their dreams that was the way they used to look. But you know, reality is much more honest and much more. Let's see, what's another word? Not only honest, but is more meaningful than the unreality of a dramatically Photoshopped image.
Right.
I just think especially for girls today, women today, this Photoshopping, thing. You made a comment before, and May's made the same comment, Baron, that you're taking a picture, and there are cultures that believe if your picture's taken, you've taken a piece of their soul. So here someone takes a piece of my soul, and then I sit and I erase every second of my soul off my face and put other parts that I don't have, enhanced stuff, and it just seems like it's worse than cheating. You know, because you can't hold up to that in person. Of course, you'll think, well, nobody will ever see me in person. I guess maybe that's what it is. It's everybody's becoming so disconnected because everything for us is a soundbite and a on the computer. You know, so making yourself as gorgeous as possible satisfies only you and keeps the
unless you acknowledge what you've done, and you can take a picture of you and say, this is how I wish I looked. I know I don't look this way, but in my dreams, I look this way. Don't you think it's cool? I think it's cool. But when you meet me, you may not see the same person or something.
No. I mean, listen, we've had pictures. You Photoshop somebody out, but you leave the other people in. Well, you know, that's what they do. I just don't think of putting an extra person in, unless it's a joke or for fun. I don't, you know, that's. But it's not something that you do.
Look, here's the thing. If you are a responsible, talented, ethical photographer, your pictures don't need photoshopping, you know?
Right.
I mean, the reality that you reflect is a beautiful reality, and there really isn't much you need to do other than if there's a wire across the background, you can take that out, you know? But fundamentally, we're good photographers, and fundamentally, we're honest photographers, and fundamentally, we make really good pictures. I mean, that's the way
exactly.
I feel.
No, and that's true, and that those, and it shows. We were there. We were. In the now you look back, yes, we've recorded historic moments, you know, captured, and, you know, a lot of these people, you know, I'm glad I have a lot of these photos, which I didn't even think about at the time. I was just taking them. And now it's, you know, that can never be replicated. And the moments that we spent, you know, John's favorite photo in the book, and you'll see it, he's walking in Ellenville, which is near Woodstock, and he just loved that picture of himself. I just thought it was a great moment. And he's walking up, and it's fall, and all the leaves are brown and everything and golden. And I just called out to him, and he turned around, and I snapped it. Now, in those days, we didn't have digital, so we don't even know if we had that photo on the camera, on the film. So it was one of his favorite, because he was wearing his favorite Irish sweater.
Yeah.
And he used it for later on for a single cover. But, you know, it's... And, you know, and back then, you know how it is. We take the photo. Do we know how it's going to look? No.
Well,
until it's all developed.
The other thing is we didn't have auto exposure. We didn't have autofocus. We didn't have motor drives. We had none of the tools that the photographers today have at their disposal. And, I mean, that's good news and bad news. We had to really consider what we were doing and work really hard.
Right.
Today, so much of the work is done by the camera, and the photographer just kind of points it in the direction, you know, of the thing that they're trying to photograph. I mean, I don't want to put them down. A lot of them are very talented, but it's a whole new world with digital, as we both know.
Yes, I believe me. My favorite thing is I miss that beautiful black and white, the Tri-X film that you go out and you take and you actually focus and get the look that you want.
I agree.
I miss some of that. I miss that, you know. So that's why I said it. I didn't even know what I had until it was developed, because that's the way it was.
Listen, I joined the club. You're preaching to the choir here. Hey, listen, one thing I wanted to mention. You said something about iconic images. What I did a year ago, I've been looking for somebody, some organization to preserve my images, because I'm getting older and my family doesn't really... They don't understand what I've done or have much interest in it. I mean, indirectly, they do.
I do understand that.
Okay, and so, and they wouldn't have known what to do with all my archives when I go to that big dark room in the sky. And so what I had the great fortune of finding this company in London called Iconic Images, who really, their main responsibility and the joy that I have in working with them is that they have agreed to kind of keep the archive intact for posterity, for people to study, for access, you know, the show, do exhibits and things like that. I so relaxed once that happened. You have no idea.
That's fabulous. You know, I understand. I do understand that because I look at my kids and I do the same thing and I'm going, are they interested? Not really. So now you got to start thinking, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
you definitely have to
you have to start thinking. You have to make a plan. You have to talk to people who that you care about, who you think who understand you and who are responsible and have, you know, you have to have a way to preserve these moments because if somebody doesn't, they're going to get lost in the ether. You know that, you know.
Yes, I do.
And then what's going to happen is it's going to be, look at this box of pictures we found in Baron Wallman's garage 50 years later, you know. And
yeah,
you don't want that, you know.
The other thing, apropos that, the other thing, what I did, again, this is not from an ego point of view, but as I told you, when I have exhibits, people come up and, they'll come, oh, my God, that concert of Janis Joplin, that's when I met my husband, oh, my God, and this and that. And then they'd ask me questions about the subject, you know, what was Mick Jagger like, blah, 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 what was going on here? So I realized that when I die and when I go to that big dark room in the sky, as I say, the pictures will remain, but the stories won't. So in 2011, we published a book called The Rolling Stone Years, Every Picture Tells a Story. And in that book, I of all the pictures in the book, I told the stories behind the pictures so that people had a little bit of an idea of what was going on when I took the picture. And it's a legacy. For me personally, it was an important legacy. And I think it'll stand the test of time. When people, the pictures are really good anyhow, but then the stories kind of give you the background, you know. Like your friend Phil Spector, when we went over to his house, oh, my God.
I know. I know. That's a whole other hour on its own. Yes. Yes, we may have you back to talk about it with me. I mean, that was,
We should do a Phil Spector perspective. You know, we should.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious. Oh my gosh.
It would be.
Well, listen, Baron, we're gonna let you go because you live over in God's country and you probably just now had your coffee. But where can people go to see about your work, see about your book, and all of that? Do you have a website?
I have a website. It's called baronwallman.com. The book, there are two books. Let me just mention both of them. The first one, the rollingstoneyears.com, it has its own website, and you can order the book from there. And then the latest book is Woodstock, which is my photos of Woodstock. Really, my pictures of Woodstock were about the people who attended rather than the musicians who played. And it's a phenomenal, beautifully produced book. And that website is celebratingwoodstock.com. So there's baronwallman.com, therollingstoneyears.com, and celebratingwoodstock.com. Those are the three access points to my life.
Awesome.
Great. I mean, it's fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are great. We could talk for hours.
Well,
Baron, really curious,
I will be getting your...
We should have him come back so you guys can talk about Phil Spector. I want to hear the story.
Definitely.
Okay? I think,
definitely.
Yeah, let's do that.
And I will get your address from Gary Raycheck, and you will get a copy of my book.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed talking to you a lot.
Yes, absolutely. It was so much fun, and to get your perspective on things, and I love your work, and so this is great. So you'll be getting mine soon, and we'll have you back.
And I hope we all get to meet in person one of these days.
Absolutely.
Here or somewhere.
Well, if you come to New York, I'm here.
Good. If you come to Santa Fe, I'm here.
Okay, and if you come to Nashville, either one of you, you can help me catch my horses because they're still
Yeah, you know what else
bottom,
is
in, so,
listen,
yeah.
What else is in Nashville or close by that's really interesting is that, you know that elephant preserve that they've got there?
In Hohenwald. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's an incredible thing. Well, we could talk forever. We can't, go on. Anyhow,
we'll
I'll
do
see
this
it.
Again.
Well,
okay,
I hope
cool.
so. Okay, bye, guys.
All right,
guys.
Baron. Thanks for coming on. Take care. Have a great day.
Yeah. Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Oh, let's have a Phil Spector introspective. Please, let's do it. Come on.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to do that. So, yes, definitely. So, you know, it's hilarious. So, it's unbelievable. There, he's, you know, he's so unassuming. You know.
Oh, hey, I'm twisting his arm to get one of those Woodstock books because I saw, you know, I went and checked it out, and it is gorgeous. Okay.
Really? Oh my God.
And I may have to Photoshop myself in there.
Oh, you.
In fact, I think I'm going to send him a picture of me and say, "Okay, Photoshop me. Make me the way I think I look, and then I'll write him an essay of how I think I look." Yeah.
That's just. That's, yes. Oh, I didn't know that Cynthia was there then. No, goodness.
Come on. Well, you know what? It was interesting to hear the two of you talking photographer to photographer. You know, people now, really honestly, anybody like under the age of 35 doesn't understand. You used to have to go in a dark room and poke your stuff in liquid and dry it and all that stuff. And maybe you got a picture. Maybe you got a picture. You know,
right.
Now with digital, you can look at it right there and say, nope, nope, delete, you know.
Right. It's true.
It's here to old school photographers who now work with new school materials. You know, that's interesting to me.
I know. So it is old school, and that's what I miss, a part of that I miss terribly. I can't believe it. I'm getting ready to leave.
To go to Liverpool. All right, now you're going straight there, or are you going to London first?
No, I go there first.
Okay.
And I will be there. I will be in Liverpool tomorrow, and then I'm going to see some of my friends, you know, that I can't wait to see them. And then after that, I'll head down to London and see some more friends, you know, and it's great.
I'm jealous. It's all get out. You dog.
Yeah,
time. What time is it? Summer there now? Do they have a? Is it?
Yeah, no, it is.
It's summer. Yeah.
It's summer. They're a little cooler than us, but it's summer, especially in Liverpool, because it's on by the sea, the Mersey and all that. London is hotter, only because it's inland and south. So, but it's great. I'm so enjoying it. I can't wait to go. And I was just there, wasn't I? Yeah. So,
well, for
twice
to
Liverpool.
Will you see Frida while you're there? Is Frida going to be there?
I'm seeing Frida. Frida, she already wrote. She goes, "I'll see you when you're here." So hopefully I'll also see Julia Baird, who is John's sister, you know, and my friends Vera and Gordon. These are all the old, you know, my old friends there. So it would be lovely to see them.
Oh, you know what?
It'd
we forgot
fun.
To talk about with Baron, how he said to us before we went on the air that the only Beatle he ever photographed was George Harrison.
That's right. Well, we'll have to get him back on, you know.
Yeah, we're going to have to, when we do our Phil Spector.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, if you, Nancy Lee Andrews, you know, Ringo's lady there, she got Ringo, she got George. But she didn't get John.
No. Nope.
You know.
That's
so
wild. Well,
it's
at the
wild.
Time, you're not thinking, oh, I better get pictures of it. You don't think that way. It's like you said.
No, you don't.
You did it for the enjoyment. You know.
And that's exactly
well,
what,
we,
yeah.
We are running out of time. It's time to say bon voyage to you. You're off to Liverpool.
I know. Well, I'll be talking to you. I'll be talking to you.
Skype
all right?
me, girl.
And,
Skype me.
Yeah. I can't wait. To everyone, if you're over there, I'll see you there. And we'll be back.
Oh, my God. Adios, Chicklet. You have a wonderful time. That was May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Specials with May Pang and Cynthia Nielsen. Have a great week, everybody.